Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Emma Gunn Show. I am your host, Emma Gunn Wardner, and in this episode, we're going to be talking about all things relaxation. Let's just get our chill on. Let's chillax. Why don't we? Because I'm chatting to Michael Acton-Smith and Alex Will, co-founders of Calm, and Alex actually created the Sleep Mist from Calm. So Calm is an app that you can download to your device, whatever it might be, and it walks you through various ways to relax. There's meditation, there are sleep stories. Particular favourite of mine is Blue Gold by Stephen Fry. If you haven't, you must. Please just listen to that story. It's so utterly relaxing. You can't help but sort of dribble a bit and fall asleep wherever you might be at the time. It's absolutely incredible. So Michael and Will were over, not Will, Michael and Alex were over in London recently and I chatted to them. And actually, this is a great time for me to be talking about Calm, because when I did actually do the interview with them, I was very excited because I was about to head off on a week-long adventure to go and get my Zen on at a mindfulness retreat. Unfortunately, it didn't go that way. And for very many reasons that I shan't go into, it ended up winding me up. I'd pinned all my hopes on. I'd kind of been a bit slack with my meditation and been a bit slack with taking time out and sleeping well, because I thought, well, it's fine. In a couple of weeks, I'm off to this retreat and that will make up for it. So I went away and it wasn't a mindfulness retreat, and I felt very annoyed that it wasn't a mindfulness retreat and I couldn't tap into that. Just go with the flow, because I pinned my hopes on it so desperately. But the thing that it made me realise was that I don't need to get on a plane and travel somewhere that isn't my hometown in order to relax. And it actually made me really appreciate the fact that I can pick up my smartphone wherever I might be and choose 10, 20 minute meditation or whatever it might be, just to get me feeling relaxed when I can feel, you know, a panic attack coming on, or just feel like things are over, that, you know, I'm just overwhelmed. So I'm kind of in love with apps at the moment. I do yoga with Adrian intermittently, and I've kind of refashioned my living room furniture actually in order to be able to have a bit more space to be able to follow her videos. And I was so excited about having one-on-one yoga lessons, and actually the fact that I felt that the yoga with Adrian sessions were better made me come back and just like, come on Adrian, let's do this. And I've been doing much, much more yoga. So the lesson here is really, you don't have to be a certain type of person. You don't have to be an Instagram relaxer or whatever the term might be. You know, you don't have to plug into Insta chill. You don't have to be doing these meditations in beautiful surroundings at certain times of the day, you know, with a beautiful sunrise behind you or sunset, whatever it might be. You can do this stuff, you know, as you're waiting for your dinner to cook. And trust me, having tried to tap into that whole meditation retreat thing or mindfulness retreat thing, I'm actually now fully embracing the fact that these things not only are at my fingertips, but they're just as good, if not better. So there we go. That's my take on it. So yes, I'm very much in love with Calm since I got back from that trip. So how does the Calm app and the Sleep Mist work? So it seems pretty obvious. You put on the app, you listen to some stuff, you spritz your bed, you go to sleep, you have the best night's sleep of your life, you feel better the next day. But they're mixing scent with storytelling, and they've discovered that it's a very new way, it's a new way, a very natural way to help racing minds drift off to sleep. So the combination of the two can be really powerful. If you actually head to the Calm landing page on their website, which is calm.com, their sleep mist is available there. It's £19.99. And over 1,000 formulations were tried and tested before they settled on the final mist. A couple of things I think are really interesting about the Calm app. It's in a survey of over 200,000 iPhone users, it's been it's come out as the world's happiest app. So according to 200,000 iPhone users, they said this is the app that makes me happiest. And it's the same survey, and this did make me chuckle, listeners, that said that Facebook, Tinder and Instagram are among the apps that make us unhappiest. And I think we can all relate to that, no? Anyway, so if a calm mind is something that you're struggling with, the app also has lots of practical advice. So if you don't feel ready for meditation, or if meditating makes you eye roll, then, and that comes up in the show, by the way, then the app also has like practical things on, you know, things to put in your bedroom or how to organise your evening so that you can potentially get a better night's sleep. Of course, we didn't just talk about the app. We talked about all sorts of things. We talked about the growing dialogue around anxiety. We talk about the eye roll that people sort of tend to do when you talk about meditation. It is still something that I remember when I first started doing it about 2 years ago, I thought, oh God, am I being a bit of an idiot? I just didn't feel like meditation was for me. And even sometimes when I say it to people, I can sense the chemicals in the air change as they think, oh, of course, she's not one of those. But it's just about chilling out and calming myself down. It's not about, it's just very simple. It's just I'm breathing. I slow my breathing down, which sends lots of messages to my body that says, oh, hey, you're not in panic mode. So, you know, we can stop the heart racing and we can stop that mind moving as quickly as it does. We talk about being addicted to devices. I'm very guilty. But then I also talk to them about starting a web-based business, the landscape of the startup, and so much more. And what's next for Calm, actually, which, as you will hear when you listen to this episode, I'm very excited about what's next for the Calm app, because Michael made a very generous offer, which I will hold him to, because guess what, guys? I have it on tape. Anyway, I hope you enjoy this episode of the show. If you're not that into this sort of thing, maybe give it a listen. It might open your eyes or ears. If you are into this kind of thing, I think you will find it very, very interesting about how the app is created and the work that they've done to produce these sleep stories, especially these sleep stories. The one with Stephen Fry is just excellent. If you do enjoy this episode of the show and you're listening over on iTunes, I would be incredibly grateful if you could head over to your app on the device and leave a 5-star rating and review and say a little bit about what you loved about the show. If you want to get in touch with me, that couldn't be simpler. Just head over to Twitter or Instagram. You can DM me if you have a slightly longer message. I'm at Emma Guns, or you can just tweet or comment wherever, whatever feels right. Or if you want to send something a little bit more involved, and I've been getting some lovely messages recently, then why not head over to my website or just email me at thebeautypodcast@gmail.com. I get all of those messages personally. They are not filtered. They do not go through other people. They come directly to me and I get back to them as quickly as I possibly can. So that's all the housekeeping done, which means that all we have left now to do is to welcome Michael Acton Smith and Alex Will onto the show. Very excited to say that I have Michael Acton Smith, the co-founder of Calm, and Alex Will with me, and who is also from Calm, but is the creator of the Sleep Mist, which we're going to get onto later, but hello.
Hello.
Thank you for joining me. Let's talk about all things Calm. Let's just get this right. Over 200,000 people were polled, which always sounds like a ridiculous expression, but in a survey of 200,000 people, your app came out as making people the happiest, correct?
Yes, yeah, we were super excited and slightly shocked by it. Well, not too shocked. But there are millions of apps out there, and some apps we're addicted to but don't make us particularly happy. They stress us out, they make us more anxious, they interfere with our sleep. And at the other end of the spectrum, there's a bunch that make people super happy, and Calm's top of that list.
So. How was Calm born? What was the idea?
Well, Calm began about 5 years ago, and my very good friend, our very good friend Alex Chu, and I and another friend used to live in Soho, just around the corner. And we'd often discuss different business ideas, and Alex mentioned that the domain name calm.com was available to buy. And he tracked down the guy that owned it, and we just thought it was such a simple, beautiful, amazing word that if we could buy this domain, we could build an incredible brand. So that was kind of the initial acorn that it started. And Alex has been a long-time meditator and fascinated by that space. And it all started from there.
So you find out the domain name is available,
yeah.
But you have to have had an interest in wanting to promote a feeling of calm within yourself and within other people. So was it a case of just perfect time, perfect place? Oh my God, this is, what were you going through to make you think, I need to put calm out into the world?
Well, we felt there was just something going on in the world. You know, there's just seems to be an increase in stress and anxiety and depression and insomnia, this kind of just growth over the last few years, and we felt the world needed to be a little bit more calm, and we thought creating a way to teach people how to meditate through an app and a website could be a really powerful way of making the world a little less stressed and anxious. So that was the starting point. Alex, as I say, had been meditating since he was a teenager. He knew a lot about it.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, I didn't fully understand it. And like a lot of people, I was a bit hesitant. I thought meditation was for hippies, and I thought I'd have to wear unusual clothing and sit in a lotus position. Indeed. Spray myself with patchouli. And
spraying yourself with something while meditating, yes, that's true. A brilliant
come
idea.
On. But it has an image problem, I think, meditation. Mm. A lot of baggage associated, and a lot of people will roll their eyes when you mention it. But
I've literally got on my notes, meditation eye roll, for the record.
But you know what? Yeah, I can confirm that. But that's changing, which I think is a wonderful thing, and there's many, many different reasons for that. And the growth in Calm and other meditation apps has been extraordinary over the last few years.
Why do you think that is? And you mentioned before what the demographic is. Mostly, obviously not all, but 30 to 50 year old women.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think it is? Do you think that people need to release that valve, but they just don't know how?
Well, Calm is pretty broad. You know, it's everything from little kids to kind of old age pensioners and everything between. And I think there's a whole host of different reasons. I think one is the growth of technology and the fact that we all carry with us this incredibly powerful device, a mobile phone.
Mm.
It's only 10 years old, but that's a blink of an eye in evolutionary terms. And the technology, the phone is so addictive. You know, the average person, I don't know if you know how many times someone checks their phone in a day.
Well over 50.
I think it's about 150 times. And if you think about it, we all do it. And most of those times we check our phone, we're not doing it consciously.
Mm.
It's just a sort of just subconscious reflex. Yeah. And that's not making us happy. It's interrupting our sense of flow. It's interrupting our relationships and our being present with other people. And I think it's causing a lot of different knock-on effects. So this is one of the reasons why people are now looking for alternatives to treat their mind with a little more respect and help them sleep better, reduce their stress, reduce anxiety and so on.
Well, these are huge things. They're topics that have come up on the show time and time again. Anxiety, adrenal fatigue. I had Henrietta Norton from World Nutrition on, talking about how she sees it more and more and more, and how we're all just frenetic.
Yeah.
And so somebody who perhaps has never meditated before, who's listening to this, who downloads the Calm app, I personally, and I want your insight on this, I would say don't judge yourself too harshly. Be nice. You're probably going to think that you're just sitting down thinking, you're about thinking, rather than meditating for the first two times.
Mm-hmm.
How would you agree?
It's not easy, meditation. Mm. The mind does not want to sit still, whirring away constantly. And I found it very difficult when I started. And the important thing to remember is you're not trying to clear your mind of all thoughts. What you're doing is you're focusing on a constant, such as your breath. And every time your mind wanders, which it will do, you bring it back to that constant, to your breath. and then it wanders again, and then you bring it back, and again, and again. And what you're doing through that practice is strengthening your attention muscle in your mind. You're becoming more aware of your own thoughts. And so that's a very, very top level basic way of thinking about it. But, you know, an analogy might be we go to the gym and we lift weights, and those weights strengthen our muscles the more we do it.
Mm.
And it's the same we are doing for our minds. We're strengthening them, making them stronger, and helping us in everyday life not get yanked around by our emotions. That's at the very heart of it, which I've found super useful.
Mm. And meditation isn't the only resource that you find when you click into that Calm app, is it?
No, that's one of the most important. We have an amazing teacher called Tamara Levitt who's created about 100 hours of content in the app. So there's meditations for beginners, there's meditations to help you increase your focus and your gratitude and a whole host of different areas. But we wanted to offer other ways to help people become more calm.
Mm.
So we have nature scenes and videos. The most popular is rainfall.
Okay.
It's incredible. People love rainfall, don't they? It's very, very soothing and relaxing. We launched something a few months ago called Sleep Stories, which are stories to help people fall asleep at night.
Now, you were recording one of these before we met, didn't you?
Yes, earlier today. So we were looking at the data on the app last year, and we realized that many people meditate using Calm in evenings, just before they go to sleep. And we thought, what if we could create a specific type of story that was designed to help you drift off to sleep at night? And the more we looked into it, the more we realized people were listening to Calm and putting on Netflix or listening to podcasts to kind of engage their minds so they weren't worrying away about all sorts of other things to help them sleep. And the idea of creating a story with a really soothing voice, with a little bit of sound effects and breathing exercises, just became such a huge hit. 2 million listen to any app every month now. And we have over 50 different stories, and it's been wonderful.
I must admit personally, I fully believe this is an addiction to my phone and to devices in general that I can watch TV on or what have you. If I want to go to sleep and I think, right, I've had staying out the bedroom tonight, I will, like a naughty child, get up and get it out of the hallway. But I'll bargain with myself and say, well, I won't watch whatever it might be. I will put the iPad by my bed and have a podcast going. And it always does lull me off. The only thing is you have to click that thing that says, end when this show ends. Because I also listen to True Crime Garage. And if you wake up
and
you're listening to gunshots for like a really disgusting, vicious murder, messes with your head.
That certainly does. I bet the nightmares are not so good.
Calm sounds like it offers a better option.
Yes, it will switch off at the end of the story. And we ask the narrators to get more and more soporific and soothing as the story goes on. So it just gently drifts you off to dreamland.
Nice.
One of our most recent stories was read by Stephen Fry. It's called Blue Gold, and we're quite sure that no one has actually heard the end of it.
It's incredible. It's 24 minutes, and it's.
I've listened to it at least 20 times, and I don't know when I fall asleep. I don't know where. I can't work it out yet, but it's definitely not at the end because I don't know what happens.
But he still sounds like Stephen Fry. But is he doing a very particular?
A very soothing version of Stephen Fry, yes. So he basically takes you on a journey to Provence, to the lavender fields and the sleepy villages, and you wander through these lavender fields and you're smelling the lavender and watching the sun set in the distance, and it's just, very, very calming. People love it, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Okay, so you have a base in San Francisco, correct?
Yes, that's where the company is headquartered.
So that makes you like one of the, like San Francisco's like the hub of startups, etc., etc.
Yes.
Tell me about the domain name, creating an app. I'm sure lots of people who listen to the show are either starting their own businesses or want to pursue a passion but aren't quite sure how to do that, how to monetize it, how to turn it into a business. Can you tell us about your journey to create Calm?
Yeah, I think this is the golden age of entrepreneurship. You know, I don't think there's ever been a better time to start a business. So many tools out there and resources and ways to get your content and your ideas to millions and millions of people. So one of the things that holds a lot of people back is that they overcomplicate things. They think they need everything in place. They think they need to raise huge amounts of money and big business plans. And in fact, I think the best way to start is to keep things simple and just begin. They call it in the startup world, the minimum viable product. So you think about your idea, you condense it down to the smallest possible version and just launch that and put it out there, even if it's only to a handful of friends or to a couple of dozen people, and then you see what people like and what they don't like, and you take that feedback and you iterate, and little by little you grow from that.
Did you have a business plan?
A very rough one, but we just felt we could build one of the great brands of the 21st century with Calm. You know, we wanted to build
that's quite a significant business plan.
Well, that's not
we
really
just thought
business
we
plan.
Could build one of the most significant.
That was kind of like the vision, the mission. That was the top of the mountain. The route up that mountain, we had no idea. We just knew we needed this domain name. We didn't know how we were going to create the content, who was going to create it, what kind of sort of meditation we're going to go for. We didn't know how we'd market it, any of these other elements. We've kind of figured all that out as we've gone along.
And I think the big focus for many companies should be build something that people love, right? If you can build something that, not that they like, not a nice to have, like people absolutely love, there's a whole bunch of things you can figure out once you've done that.
Yeah.
And I think that's Calm's journey up the mountain kind of proves that, because when you look at the reviews we have in the App Store, so for example, we have over 50,000 five-star reviews, and you spend time actually reading what people are saying, and they don't like Calm. They absolutely love it. It has impacted their life in a massive way. And if you can tap into that, you'll find a way to make a business. People love what you do.
And yeah, it's a really good point, because then you get the word of mouth, which is so, so important. And people, there's nothing better than creating a product that people want to share and talk about with their friends. So we grew Calm to about 6 million downloads before spending anything on marketing. And that just showed to us that there was something, there was a real demand and passion for the product.
How do you make money from a project like this, from that initial startup?
So the app is free, and anyone can download it and use part of the content. And then you can pay for the premium version of Calm, which is most of the meditations and sleep stories. And that's about £40 a year. So we think that's great value.
That's great value. For peace of mind.
For peace of mind, and good night's sleep and everything else.
So I'm guessing that you get quite a lot of consumer feedback.
Yes.
Is there a direct conversation with the people who use the app? And do you take their comments to create something new that exists within it? And even if somebody just messages you and said, I slept for the first time in however long, is that... Gold.
Absolutely, and the support team at Calm is something we're very proud of.
Yeah,
and the relationship that they foster with our users, not only helping them with things when they have questions and making sure that there's actually a human face to someone trying to understand how to use the product or if they have specific questions, but also sharing those really personal journeys when people actually have had wonderful experiences. So we have on the wall in the office hundreds of these conversations where people have given feedback about Calm, ranging from ideas for future products to why they love it and how they use it. So actually, you know, listening to our users is a huge part of what we do and one of the most rewarding aspects. Because again, it's if our users love what we do, right, we'll figure everything else out.
Yeah, I think one of my favorite parts of Calm is the community that we set up. We created a Facebook page, and there's tens of thousands of people who are in there every day, kind of sharing stories with each other, supporting each other, encouraging them, each other on the journey, giving us feedback. And I think that's really valuable to tap into that community. And the stories we've heard are just amazing, aren't they? From people who say Calm has saved their marriage, to people who were suicidal, people who've had the best night's sleep in decades. It's just, mind-blowing what we hear. You get the same as well.
Yeah.
People listen to your podcast. Incredible, isn't it, to create something and know that you're changing lives.
Yeah, when someone says, I listened to that or consumed your content, whatever it might be, and it made a positive difference, you don't know who listens. And so when someone feeds back, yeah, of course, it's divine.
It's amazing. Yeah, helps us get out of bed in the morning. And
how do you produce something like this responsibly? Like, meditation, does it go through trading standards? Is there any legislation or anything that just makes sure that what you're putting out there is actually meditative?
Yeah, it's a very good question. There are now over 1,000 apps in the App Store helping you learn meditation.
Mm.
And we wanted to do this very responsibly. So we spent quite a lot of time trying to find the best teacher we could. And we have an incredibly fortunate to work with Tamara Levitt, who has been meditating and teaching mindfulness for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
So she is very, very authentic and part of the community. So there are no, as far as I know, there are no kind of official bodies that you have to be approved by.
But the meditation ombudsman.
No, exactly.
Where I was going.
Maybe that will come at some point in the future. What we do know is people listen to the content and love it. And if they don't, there are many other apps that where they can find a voice and a teacher that they love.
Do you think that an app like Calm and the fact that it is, you know, doing well in the charts, it's very visible when you go into iTunes or any of these streaming services, do you think that actually its presence alone is helping people acknowledge that actually those sleepless nights or that pain in their lower back, which is adrenal fatigue, is actually something that they can help themselves with?
I think so. I think Calm is one of the reasons we love the name Calm is that it's so universally understood. We didn't want a name that felt too spiritual or woo-woo or bizarre. Who doesn't need a little more calm in their life? And I think it's such a great foundation to build a happy, healthy life. You know, calm leaders are the best leaders. If you're calm in your relationship, it's going to be healthier. And so, yeah, I think, and this penny is dropping amongst so many more people now that rushing around, being constantly stressed and fatigued and flooded with cortisol is not the best way to go through our one and precious life.
Mm.
We need to kind of get a little more balance, and calm helps people do that.
Other than meditation, are there any other things that you do to, in life generally, just to take that adrenal pressure off?
Meditation.
Especially
if
people who run a business.
Exactly. I mean, meditation is wonderful, and I swear by it, and it's changed my life. But it's not a silver bullet. It doesn't solve everything. I think some people maybe expect that. It's part of a healthy life. Eating well, exercising, getting enough sleep. And we both, I think. But I think meditating helps you become a little more conscious and aware of all the other things you do in your life, rather than maybe opening the fridge instinctively and just eating something when you're bored, or not getting enough sleep.
Yeah, I think it can be even as basic as just taking time to go for a little walk. I mean, I think one of the things that we really try and think about when we look kind of to the future of Calm is all these different moments in a day where you could rush, you could see the light changing from green to red and hurry across the street, or you could just wait, sit at when it's red and just take a moment and, you know, just be there and wait. Alex Tew, that's his favorite thing to do, is to not rush across the street in San Francisco. And he has these, he creates these little moments. And I think it's really becoming aware of that. And meditation really does help you become aware of the importance of finding time to do little things for yourself, and to be aware that mental fitness is just as important as kind of looking after your physical state of affairs.
I'm interested. I was trying to explain to someone about meditation the other day because I started talking about it and I got an eye roll. And I was like, no, wait. It changes the chemistry of the actual brain.
Yes.
But equally, it's not about in that moment. It's not about, I prefer to meditate in the morning, if I remember. And it's not about that moment or how you feel 5 minutes afterwards. It's how it affects how you approach the rest of your day.
Absolutely.
And would you say that that's what it's about? It's not about a moment of calm. It's about extending that moment into just a lifestyle of calm.
Completely. It's reframing the way you look at the world. And as you said, what excites us as well is not the incense, it's the neuroscience behind this. And there are so many studies now showing how it actually rewires our brains and helps many, many different aspects of our life. It improves memory, studies showing it helps with creativity, lowers blood pressure, improves the immune system, and on and on. I think one of the simplest is this idea of responding instead of reacting to stimulation. When something happens, say you're in a car and you get cut up in traffic, a lot of people will just instantly react. Our amygdala will fire up, and we'll honk our horn, and we'll get stressed, and we'll take that stress with us into the rest of the day. But if you meditate and you live life a little more mindfully, you will have that fraction of a second more just to think, do I really want to bang my horn? Should I just take a breath? let that person get on with their day and continue. And that responding instead of reacting makes a huge difference to so many areas of life.
If somebody's listening to this and they say, they're thinking, oh, this sounds like a load of old brouhaha, are they the people who need to meditate the most?
Probably. I would say, you know, don't dismiss things without understanding it. And again, I'm with you. I felt a little bit like that. Many, many other people do. I had a very, very stressful situation with my last job, and I went away, something I'd never done before. I went on holiday on my own, which I highly recommend. Feels a bit weird to do, but I took a load of books and research papers on meditation, and it just blew me away what I discovered. And so that was kind of a real penny drop moment for myself. And then actually just starting to have the patience to practice and see firsthand how it impacted my own life.
And I think it's one of the things that we find really interesting is the eye roll is definitely something, or when people dismiss it, you know, they think, well, it's not for me.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that Calm that we have that's really helped introduce people to meditation is what's called the Daily Calm, which is a brand new meditation every single day that Tamara puts together. And it's our unique take on meditation in the sense that it's part meditation, part breathing exercise, part lesson. It's about 10 minutes usually. And I've had many friends who probably wouldn't sit down and listen to bells ringing for half an hour, but they've tried the Daily Calm. And what they like about it is...
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project... there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
That for the first time they realize they can sit with their eyes closed for 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a thing. And that they've never done that before. And if you do that for 30 days, see how you feel, right? Everyone has 10 minutes. And what's amazing is that the most skeptical people, when they do it regularly for a period of time, even just 10 minutes a day, are people that see some of the biggest surprises in terms of how it's impacted them. And like anything in life, you know, you have 10 minutes every day.
Yeah.
And if you don't have 10 minutes, then that's probably something you also probably want to think about.
Well, you think you don't have 10 minutes,
yes.
But actually you look at your iPhone or whatever mobile device
yeah.
you're using. Other communication devices are available. And you realise, you know, that breakdown where they say how much time you've spent on a particular app?
Yeah.
That's frightening.
Yeah. Oh, it's extraordinary. Social media in particular. I mean, it's valuable and it's wonderful, but when we do it on autopilot, that's where it becomes dangerous.
So tech has such a bad rap for that reason. We know that it that whole refreshing Instagram, getting a new
mm-hmm.
like, you know, that actually releases dopamine.
It does.
It's like a drug addictive response. How are you able to create something on that same platform, which we know to be negative, and flip it completely on its head? That must be a big part of creating the right kind of content.
It's a very, very important part of it. And what we would say is that the technology and the mobile phone, it's merely a tool. You know, it's neither good nor bad. It's how we use it that matters.
Mm-hmm.
And so when people use their devices mindlessly and they're getting those dopamine spritzes all day long and making themselves unhappy...
Oh, I like the sound of a dopamine spritz.
Where do I get one of those?
Yeah, can we put that in a spray? That could be the next product.
We'll look into that.
But so what we're trying to do is we're using obviously the same device of which there are billions around the world, and changing people's relationship to it,
yeah.
teaching them how to use their device mindfully instead of mindlessly, instead of being a slave to it and just using it like a zombie, using it when and how and if you need to. And that changing that relationship with your device is really, really powerful.
Well, even just a really small thing, I have a policy of I never use my phone in the street.
Mm-hmm.
And it is
one of the few
remarkable trying to walk around anywhere, particularly London, I've just run here from the other side of Soho, people have no spatial awareness because they're just on their phones.
Yes.
But then I do get very angry. So I need to work on that.
Maybe they're all using Calm as they're wandering down the street.
No,
probably not.
I think not.
Do you know there's been a lot more accidents, people being hit by cars because their faces are glued into their phones?
Oh, I don't doubt it.
There are parents pushing their kids on swings, just sort of mindlessly looking at their phones. It's unbelievable.
And you started out by asking, you know, what's making companies like Calm grow so quickly and what is it about it? And that's probably one of the best examples. No longer are we walking down the street taking in our surroundings, having a look, seeing something funny, maybe a shot that's interesting, maybe there's a funny cloud floating through the sky, whatever it might be, we're not present. We're sort of in a 4x6-inch screen, and that's it.
We don't give ourselves enough chance to daydream and get into a state of flow. You know, if you look at anyone, not just walking down the street, but in a queue for something, they're all just looking at their phones. And before the phone, we would daydream and think about stuff. In coffee shops, I used to do this myself. I love getting into a state of flow with my notebook and doodling and thinking. But when you've got a phone face up next to you, every few minutes, ping, ping, and you're pulled out of that state you're in. So, and it takes, this is why meditation is valuable, because you can catch yourself and think, do you know what? I'm going to put my phone on silent for the next couple of hours, or I'm not going to look at my phone while I walk down the street, or it won't be the first thing I reach when I get out of bed in the morning. And you, as I say, you change that relationship with your device.
Do you have your phones on things like grayscale to make it less appealing?
I do that. So I do that at night so that I don't get the blue light, because that helps to sleep. I think there are a lot of little hacks you can do to kind of make your phone a little bit more friendly. So I use the Gmail app. Other email providers are also good. But I turn off email at night, every night. So I actually have to go in and turn on email when I wake up in the morning. Okay. It feels very different to do that because it's a conscious choice. I'm now turning it on and ready for the deluge of email that's going to come in. Rather, it's more sort of between San Francisco and London and the time zones, and there's always somebody
near you. That must be.
And so just having these moments where we actually bring back a little bit of control and say, now I'm going to do email. If you wake up in the night and you see your phone and it's just full of emails and you look at one of those, you're not going back to bed. And that's a bad night's sleep, and that, you know, it's a knock-on effect into the rest of your day. So there are lots of different things you can do to your actual phone to turn off notifications, so you go in there when you want to actually review messages. Little small things that can actually have quite a high positive impact.
Totally. For the listeners who don't know what grayscale is, there is a function where you can turn off the colour, so it's black and white. But
that makes it a little less exciting.
Yeah, I have the nighttime mode, and I also have it on Do Not Disturb.
Nice.
So I only have my family, that it would ring or ping.
Yeah, great.
Which helps, if you guys have that. Can we talk a little bit about competitive meditation?
Yes.
Because I've noticed...
Is this a new Olympic sport?
I feel like it's a thing, and I feel like we need to address it, because I feel like it's taking something that's meant to designed to make you feel calmer, more centred, and it's putting that sort of high energy spin on it, which I don't think is, I don't think meditation needs a high energy spin.
Mm-hmm.
Just putting it out there. I keep seeing on Twitter people doing like meditate 365 days in a row, or I'm on a 10-day run or whatever, and it's like, you know, one of these running apps.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know whether that's healthy. Where do you stand on that?
The human condition. You know, we want to show off whatever we do, even if it's meditation. We want to tell everybody about how brilliantly we're doing at it. We have a feature in the app that we debate quite a lot, which shows you your streak. And we want people to meditate every single day because it's great for them and it's great for Calm. But we don't want to stress you out. Do you see what I mean? And, you know, we stop short at giving you points and sparkles and badges for your progress and gamifying it too far. But I think a streak is healthy, because if it does help you turn this into a habit that you want to do, then that's a good thing. It's a bit of a delicate balance. But
we think about this a lot, because for us, you know, our users who love Calm and do it regularly see the most impact. Right, if meditation is one of those things, if you do it regularly, you will see results.
Yeah.
And we think long and hard about how to help our users form habits, positive habits. Because once you have a positive habit, it's actually very easy to do something over and over and over again. And I think someone who's actually consistently done something for 100 days, I think there's something to be lauded in that, right? The constancy of actually sitting down and making time to do that every single day.
Yeah.
I feel like there's something positive in that too, because it's not as if someone's saying I meditated for 27 hours in a row and it's kind of macho. I don't feel there's a macho-ness to the streak. I feel like actually there's something... Consistency is not often something we reward in society. So mm-hmm. I think being able to do something consistently for quite a long time, I think, is a pretty good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, completely. So not competitive.
Well, whatever works for the individual,
yeah.
I think. You know, you do have to be careful, though, as well, if you discover meditation and you love it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to drive your friends around the bend by telling everyone mm-hmm. how incredible this thing is. There was a great New Yorker article that... two ladies are chatting in a coffee shop, and one says, "I've only been gluten intolerant for a week, but I'm already really annoying." And so there can be a little bit of that with meditation, where you know you see the light and you're enlightened, and everyone again is eye rolling.
Oh, totally.
People need to kind of discover it themselves; it can't really be forced on them.
I remember the first time I spoke about it on the podcast, feeling like, "Oh, do I really want to put this out there?" But I knew that how some people listening would feel about it,
mm-hmm.
but.
But, and I think just on that, a 200-day streak is not better than a 160-day streak. I think that's where the competitive thing goes, because I don't
right.
think it's like we're not competing with one another because one longer streak is better.
Yeah.
What's, I think, valuable about a streak is what it means for the individual and what it means for them to have consistently taken time out to do that. Mm. And it's really something that, and if their streak ends, what a lovely thing is that I know I can do this for X number of days in a row. And feeding that positive impact.
Now, insomnia, let's talk about that, because that's a huge problem. I have had bouts of insomnia that have driven me down near crazy in my life. Mine were characterised by being able to fall asleep, but then waking up at 2 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it, done. And then falling asleep at about 7 a.m. So the morning workout went out the window and all that kind of stuff. Is that the kind of general type of insomnia that people... communicate with you about?
Yeah, there's a lot of different types, and it is, if you look at the data, it's just been growing steadily, more and more insomnia issues. The sleeping pill market is huge. I think in the US alone about 50 or 60 million prescriptions are written for sleeping pills every year.
What?
It's just extraordinary, and it's starting with young children. And so in very broad senses, not children taking sleeping pills, but they are struggling to sleep as well. And again, I think it goes back to what we were talking about at the start. It's the pervasiveness of screens. It's the technology all around us. It's never being able to switch off. It's using Facebook at last thing at night or watching Netflix and causing our brains to just keep on whirring and whirring away. And that's why we can't fall asleep. And then the second type of sleep challenge is often around waking up in the middle of the night and not being able to get back to sleep and staring at the ceiling at 4 a.m., which is like the worst time ever to try and solve any problem, but your brain will just throw all sorts of random things in there. So yeah, it's a big issue, and this is why we're spending a lot of time at Calm trying to address it.
So if someone is listening and they have inconsistent sleep patterns, or they go through the phases of insomnia, what would you recommend for them? They download the app, what should they start with? What's their starting point?
There's a whole host of things you can start with. There's the basics, like not drinking caffeine after midday. There is making sure your room is at the right temperature. There's making sure there's blackout curtains in your room, all these kind of areas. What we do at Calm is meditating is something we encourage, and a lot of people do that in the morning. So meditating helps you sleep better at night. When your mind is whirring away at 2 a.m, your meditation practice can help you go, that's my mind worrying away. I don't really need to worry about that conference call tomorrow afternoon. And you can bring your mind back to focusing on your breath, and then it's easier to fall asleep. But as I say, the big thing we offer in the app are the sleep stories to help calm your worrying mind down and then gently drift you off to sleep.
And Stephen Fry, goodness sake.
What's not to like about falling asleep to Stephen Fry?
Adore that man. Actually adore him. I met him, I've just remembered, at the BAFTAs a few years ago.
Oh, wow.
And it was when he was all over Blackberries, I think. And I had a picture taken with him, and he shamed me for how basic my Blackberry was, because he just had the new one. And there was a picture somewhere, but in a very nice way.
In a nice way, okay. He wasn't mean to you, good.
No, no, not in the slightest. He was absolutely charming and better than I could have imagined. Because he's one of those people, and I always say never meet your heroes, because if they let you down, it hurts so badly. And as someone who's interviewed lots of celebrities, and many of them that I admired, when they fall below expectation, you have to go home and cry.
Are you going to name some names?
I cannot.
Oh, come on. Give us one.
I'll tell you off the record.
Okay. After the show, I'll tweet it.
Yeah, do that.
I think one other thing on that kind of sleep and is ritual can become a really important part to helping you sleep. I think a lot of people approach the hour and a half before bed in quite a haphazard way, right? They don't think about that they need to wind themselves down. We talked a bit about the blue light on the phone. You know, there's all kinds of studies which you can look up that shows, you know, looking at your phone with a high degree of brightness is going to reduce the amount of melatonin in your system, and you won't sleep as well. And just taking some time before you go to bed to actually wind down. And you know, it's one of the reasons why we created Sleepmist, was because, you know, we really wanted to find a way to kind of impact positively this bedtime ritual, and have something that tied into sleep stories and could create an evocative feeling, and for someone to do before they go to bed. Yeah. So I think often people are not quite sure, what do I do now? And they get into bed wide awake and say, why am I not asleep yet?
Twiddling yes. their thumbs. Now, listeners, Alex actually wafted some of the sleep mist in my direction before we started recording, and it's very delicious, very relaxing, but it's not just like a lavender mist. How did you concoct this magic?
So we spent about a year wanting to create the perfect sleep mist, and lavender is scientifically proven to aid in relaxation and helping people to feel grounded, so we knew we wanted to use lavender in some way, but we also wanted to blend it with other delicious essential oils that also have similar properties but could also create a unique blend, a smell that you haven't smelled before, and that doesn't smell like laundry detergent. So we decided to embark on this journey. I turned my house in California into a laboratory. We made 1,000 different iterations of different scent profiles before we got to the final version, which is a blend of lavender, frankincense, clary sage, and chamomile. And we even had 12 different pillowcases of different materials. Some were sateen, some were cotton, some were 500 thread cotton. And the reason we had all these pillowcases was to see what we could do to make the scent linger longer throughout the night. So we really kind of left no stone unturned trying to create the perfect sleep mist. And yeah, we hope people love it as much as we do.
Sounds like a dumb question, maybe, because it is. How does one use it? Does one spritz their pillow? Do you spritz your face?
So you can use it lots of different ways. We advise to spritz the pillow 2 or 3 times. Usually that works well because it kind of absorbs the scent and it stays with you throughout the night. But it's also safe to be on skin and stuff like that. We've had independent tests done, so it's safe for anybody above 1 year old. So if it does get on the skin, that's fine too. And some people just, you know, spritz it within the room as well to create a really nice smell.
And the idea is you listen to a sleep story at the same time. So your senses are being assailed. The scent, the aromatherapy, and the audiotherapy helps completely switch your mind away from all the endless, needless chatter to the scent and the sound of the story. And that's what gets you off to sleep.
Well, also, a friend of mine gave me the best hack, which I'd never thought of. I don't have children, she does, and she says whenever they go on holiday, they really struggle to get the kids off to sleep. And now she uses a very specific mist, uses it on their pillows at bedtime at home, and then when they stay in a hotel, sprays their pillows so that it smells like home when they go to bed.
And we've seen that. So the first customers who are absolutely loving Sleep Mist are talking about how they're already getting used to this scent, meaning sleep and calm and quiet. And smells are incredible. Smells are a direct route to your brain. I'm sure you've had the experience of walking in to a room and just it taking you back to a completely different time, and it's the scent that's doing that. Something in that smell profile is reminding you of your grandmother's house or a place you've been before, and it's so evocative and powerful. And once you can create that positive association, it can really help people when you're having that restless night. Something to do, something familiar, something nice smelling. The brain responds very well to things that smell good. There really is a kind of a pattern to that. And there have even been studies done with like what we would describe as bad smells. You can wake people up with a bad smell. It's quite an extraordinary thing. Smells are so strong that like good smells make you feel relaxed and bad smells kind of make you feel alert. So it's a really, really interesting thing, kind of tying the audio and the aroma together, and taking people on a really wonderful journey.
And what you say about rituals, I was hoping we'd get through this podcast without me mentioning him, but damn it, let's just do it. Tim Ferriss talks a lot about morning rituals.
Do you mention him on every podcast? Is that the,
I would say
the
about 75%
that runs through it. Okay.
I don't mean to, but he's just talks
well,
a lot of sense.
He's a great podcaster.
Isn't
yeah,
he just?
Yes.
Over 100 million downloads.
Incredible.
But he talks about morning rituals and, you know, uses the example of someone like Mark Zuckerberg who chooses his clothes the night before and it's always the grey t-shirt, the jeans and what have you. You're probably friends with him as well, aren't you?
No.
Well, met him once, but that was about it. Yeah.
And Tom Ford is the same. Apparently Tom Ford gets up at the same time every day, has a bath with like a long cappuccino type latte situation, but it's at the same time every single day. So the bath lasts for the same amount of time, the drink is exactly the same, and it eases them into their day and they can be more productive. And it makes absolute sense that if you're trying to be more productive in the day and you have that first 60 minutes be the same so that your brain can focus on when you start, but if you wind down in the same way, then your sleep would be more efficient.
Absolutely
right.
And
go ahead.
I was just going to say, because most of us are on autopilot, we don't consciously think about that. You know, what you just said makes perfect sense, but how many of us actually do that? And I personally think mornings are incredibly important. They're the foundation the rest of the day is built on. But if we get out of bed blurry-eyed, the first thing we do is check Twitter and get angry at what Trump is up to, and in the shower thinking about him, and suddenly, you know, no wonder the rest of our day is going to be stressed and anxiety filled.
And I think one of the things that there's a reason, there's actually some science behind why people like Zuckerberg and actually many others have an outfit that they wear every single day. And one of the reasons is they don't want to take the energy to take decisions, because there's a finite amount of decision-making energy that you have every single day. And eventually, sort of like those old video games from the 80s of two fighters and they have a power bar, and you have decision-making power bar, and you use it up throughout the day. And eventually, at the end of the day, you just can't make any decisions anymore. So what's very interesting about that is, again, something mindfulness can help with, is just by being a bit more mindful, you can be aware of those times when you are on autopilot, and you're no longer able to make good decisions. And that's, I think, what's interesting about the end of the day, is I think often people are pretty much depleted by the time they get to 10:30 p.m. And there's no longer structure around that. And that's why I think actually creating ritual and routine that's just what you do every single day. And parents are a great example. Kids respond incredibly well to routine. I'm not a parent myself, but that's sort of something I hear from every single one of my friends that's a parent. And I think adults respond quite well to routine too. And just actually just being aware of that and trying to build that in.
Completely. The nighttime routine, I think. Because when you wake up, you have lots of energy, hopefully, if you've slept well. So you can put that energy into your morning routine. But I think it's harder to create that hour before bed.
Yes, it's easier just to switch on Netflix or to check Facebook.
Yeah.
And our ability to do things we know are good for us becomes a little harder.
So there's a massive trend at the moment for well-being. How important, have you just hit the market, in inverted commas, at the right time? Or do you think calm is always going to just be relevant?
I think the timing is great to be involved with developing something like this. But I think it's universal. I think as technology and mobile phones become more pervasive, the need for calm and a little more balance and leading a healthy life is going to come increasingly important. So some people think meditation is a fad. I think that's absolutely nonsense. It's been around for thousands of years. All we're doing in the other sort of meditation apps is helping simplify it, make it accessible, distribute it in a way that makes it easy for people to do, and hopefully help people lead happier and healthier lives.
And back in the office we have a magazine from the 60s, People magazine, and it's something we think about a lot, and the front cover is Farrah Fawcett, one of the original Charlie's Angels, and I think it's Peter Fonda, and the headline is something along the lines of the new craze, yogging, or as it was then, which is now jogging. And it's 1968. The kind of physical fitness revolution was just beginning. Mm. This idea that, you know, in a now sedentary world where people were working in offices, people were starting to extol the importance of fitness. And now it seems perfectly obvious that this is something we should do every single day, like a little bit of exercise, whatever that looks like, if it's a walk or go to the gym, whatever you like. And, you know, companies like Nike and Lululemon and all these various businesses that have been built within the physical fitness space. And we think in 20, 30 years, it's going to be so obvious that mental fitness is just as important. And the work you do for your mind will benefit all different aspects of your life. Mm. And they'll, like in the physical fitness business, there'll be many brands that are created in and around mental fitness. And we're really excited to be here during this revolution that's kind of happening.
Absolutely.
Someone's going to create meditation wear, surely, because the leisure wear market is so massive.
Yes, and there's already things bubbling up in that area. But
seriously?
Yeah, oh, definitely. But this is so true. This, you know, this is a new wave, a societal shift, it seems to be, where people rightly are treating their minds with the respect that they deserve. They are the frame, the lens in which we view the world. The human brain is about the most complex thing we've discovered in the universe. Mm. The dance of chemicals and electricity and hormones and everything else. No wonder it goes haywire every now and then. And who on earth has taught us how to use it? We don't learn these skills in school. And so people think they're unique when they're feeling depressed or anxiety or anxious. Everyone goes through this. We just don't talk about it enough. There's been such a stigma around mental health. But I'm so happy to say that's starting to lift and change. Mm. And conversations like we're having now, and, you know, everyone from Prince Harry to Lady Gaga talking about this is super, super healthy.
And I remember a few years ago, I want to go through depressive, you know, low mood. And a friend saying, mate, you just need to go and speak to someone. And I was horrified because I thought she was saying, you are broken, you need fixing. And I felt really insulted that she suggested that I needed outside help. Mm. But now, having gone down that route, I don't see it as being any different to going to the gym.
No.
Yeah. I would go to a personal trainer if I wanted to achieve a certain fitness goal, and I would get their advice.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, because I want my brain to feel happier,
mm-hmm.
and to be more content, I am speaking to someone who is a professional who can help me down that road. It just makes more sense. Just
definitely.
Makes sense. Do you do anything else? Journaling? Do you do any of these other things? Do you have a greater, bigger practice that goes on outside of the app?
I love going everywhere with a notebook, one in my back pocket. So it's not journaling in the traditional sense, but I think in this age of screens everywhere, it's lovely to write with pen and paper. I personally love exercise, even if it's just, as Alex says, a walk or just one push-up a day. Doing something physical, I think, is really, really valuable. And it's so easy to forget, given how busy we all are. Trying to think, what other healthy things do we do? We do the Daily Calm as a team in the office in San Francisco. Every day, 10 minutes, we all come together, which sounds like a very California thing to do, meditating with your work colleagues. But it's such a but I think it's such a great way to start the day, isn't it?
It is,
yeah, all of us on the same level. And
I'm a big believer in a world where we're increasingly able to access things immediately, in the joy of actually taking time to make something. So for me, preparing food is something I really enjoy doing, and I know I'm never see the time to prepare food as lost time. You know, nowadays we want to press a button and order from Deliveroo or Postmates, and it's all about, you know, convenience.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a price that comes with convenience, and it's sort of not participating in the act that you're actually involved in. And if you've taken an hour to make a meal and you eat it mindfully, it is a completely different experience than scoffing something down,
mm-hmm.
While browsing the internet. So just actually taking very simple everyday acts and making them a little bit more meaningful.
Mm. Will Calm do retreats, holidays?
Yes. We want to take this everywhere. And, yeah, clothing is something we've thought about. We have a book out, the Calm book. We'd love to do retreats. Hotels is something we're excited about. Imagine a Calm hotel in every stressful city.
I'm there.
Okay. you can have a free room for life.
On tape, people.
The thing I'm really excited about, we are, is eventually doing Calm Island, buying an island somewhere hot and sunny and creating the world's most relaxing resort. I think that'd be brilliant.
I think that would be brilliant too.
Right, you can come to that too. We can do it on net. If we're invited back on the show, the next one can be on Calm Island.
Oh,
the sounds of the waves lapping in the distance.
I don't think the listeners would like us very much.
That's a good point.
Coming to you from Calm Island.
Exactly.
Where will this
the next
island
40
be?
Episodes.
It's not the Orkneys, is it? We're talking about like...
No, it would be some... We haven't found it yet. We're still looking. We think somewhere warm. But exactly where, not sure.
Excellent.
Yeah, islands are quite tricky to buy.
Oh my god, that's the best thing anyone's ever said on my podcast. I'm island shopping at the moment. Goodness me, it's exhausting.
That's not what I meant. I mean, there's a wonderful magazine, if you ever get the chance, very good for your coffee table, Islands Quarterly.
that
lists all the islands for sale in the world at the moment.
I'm going to subscribe
immediately. You should. It's a must have.
That would be meditative. Just look through that and project fantasy life.
Mm, absolutely.
Me and my parallel universe husband, on an island together, meditating.
Branson bought his island, Necker, years and years ago. Yeah, when was he 28? Mm-hmm. And it wasn't that expensive in the grand scheme of things. And yeah, it'd been a brilliant purchase.
Oh, well, if the return on investment is sound. I'm fascinated. This has been very interesting. Thank you. Because I do think that on the days when I meditate, I'm a better person. I roll all you want at that, listeners. But I feel it. And I chastise myself a lot because I am not very good at doing it every day. But it doesn't really matter as long as you find the time when you can.
Mm-hmm.
I will be putting links to Calm, the app, everything in the show notes. And also the sleep mist. Where can I buy it?
Calm.com/sleep mist.
There you go. A link to that will be in the show notes. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Very aware that you have a phone call in 5 minutes, so I must let you go. But that has been
we could
so
have kept talking for ages.
Well, we'll just do the next. We'll just do another one
on
the island.
On the island.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much for joining me, and listeners, everything will be in the show notes over on emmaguns.com. Bye. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Michael and Alex. If you want to get in touch with the show, it couldn't be easier. Email me at thebeautypodcast@gmail.com or go to emmaguns.com and click the little envelope. That message will come directly to my inbox. Emmaguns.com is also where you can find the link to sign up for my newsletter, which is a semi-regular newsletter with updates and a few sneak peeks of what might be coming up and asking for your input into the shows. If you want to contact me on social media or follow me, I'm at Emma Guns on Twitter and Instagram and The Emma Guns Show on Facebook. If you did enjoy this episode, please do head over to iTunes, leave a star rating and a written review. I would be most grateful. But for now, thank you again and see you on the next episode.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.